Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind, sharing lessons from the creatives of yesteryear for the population of today. The ever-dwindling population, because quite frankly, we're still in the pandemic era.
To the heroism of the resistance fighters, past, present, and future, this work is respectfully dedicated. Have they come because they are our friends? Have they come because they need our help? We'll evaluate the prognosis in the next episode of Resonance Rewind.
Have you heard about them?
What?
They're everywhere. They're all around the world.
But wherever the reports have come from, Paris, Rome, Geneva, Buenos Aires, Tokyo, descriptions of the craft are all identical. And now I'm told that our affiliate station KXT in San Francisco now has a picture. Yes, there it is. Good Lord. It's coming in across the Golden Gate.
Oh, Quentin isn't here. There's nothing in his current box. I'm not sure what he was working on. He hasn't been here all day. Not at all. Yes, I tried at home. There's no answer. What? It is. Were you sure it's his car?
You see, Mike? He used his right hand.
And yesterday, he used his left hand. So he's ambidextrous?
No, he's not. Neither is Duvivier. I checked. No, Mike. Until this week, they were both right-handed. Something very strange is going on here.
Kid and my ex-wife and all the people in their damn town are up there.
One of the things about Resonance Rewind is we like to introduce classics of television and filmic history to perhaps folk who maybe weren't around when the whole series was in full force. And that's exactly what we've done today by basically setting our ace singer-songwriter, Chloe Rose, the task of actually finding out what she could about V, the series, of course, part of our Kenneth Johnson appreciation. Chloe, last week, of course, we were looking at another one of Kenneth Johnson's series, Alien Nation. This was one he did before Alien Nation, but after The Incredible Hulk, and he certainly was involved very heavily with the original miniseries, which I think you managed to access part of. So what are your thoughts on The Visitors? Are they our friends?
I don't think they are. From what I've watched so far, I don't think they are. I mean, it was very, I was hooked from the beginning of it. You know, there was a war going on and there was Mike, I think the cameraman, that was sort of logging everything that was going on. And then all of a sudden this big alien craft turns up, this spaceship, and we're thinking, oh dear, you know, should we be scared? And at that point, we watch it through and, oh, we are nice, and they all appear like humans, Alex, but they have these unusual voices. And I think there's something suspicious going on about their eyes. But anyway, say no more. And it's very, very good. But I think they're not good. Well, not some of them are good. Barbara's good. But yeah.
We have come because we need your help. It was written very much on the back of a novel that was originally published in the 1930s called It Couldn't Happen Here, in which the writer was talking about what would happen if America became occupied by a totalitarian state. And there's always that fear that the message does come across. Clearly, the original V miniseries occurred pre-social media. I know there was a remake made in 2009 which encompassed that as well. But in terms of this, did you feel that the sense of concern about what, in essence, is a thinly veiled metaphor for the Nazi occupation of the Allied countries and France and other areas as well in the Second World War. Did you think that was very effectively done, more so than any other alien invasion narrative might have developed?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, watching, I know we watched Alien Nation last week, and I did love that, don't get me wrong, but I just felt this really hooked me in, and it made me think about, you know, well, the issues that are going on in society today, although it's slightly different because, you know, we're not having huge, large 31 spaceships hanging around the world yet. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and it is a bit scary because some of us feel like we've got no control over it. We don't quite know what some people's next move is. And I think that can be a very, very scary thing to feel, can't it? So, yeah, I thought they did that really well. And yeah, I enjoyed it very much.
You mentioned Mike Donovan there, of course, played by Mark Singer. The cast is immense. It's not surprising that originally there was talk of it being a motion picture. There still is talk of actually Kenneth Johnson somehow getting together and actually producing a motion picture version of V. But in terms of that, there are a number of key characters that emerge both from the visitor's perspective, obviously the leader, Diana, of course, Stephen, the head of security, and then, of course, several families that we see. We see, obviously, the biologist, biochemist, and trainee doctor, Juliet Parrish, played by Faye Grant. Probably taking on board what would be seen as the Chloe Rose role in that particular case, the feisty blonde leader from that perspective. And then, of course, we also see the range of responses that we get from human beings, some of whom say it's a tremendous opportunity. Christine Walsh, obviously tremendous for her career as a camera operator, as a TV presenter, who becomes the public relations spokesperson for the aliens or for the visitors, right the way through to Mike Donovan's very own mother, who has a kind of interesting response to obviously the career and areas within that. What are your thoughts? And let's not forget, of course, Robin Maxwell, who simply has a crush on one of the visitors. And that obviously develops into a whole range of other issues as the series proceeds. Did any of them strike a chord with yourself? I mean, was it Abraham, the grandfather, who obviously remembers the Nazi occupation and was very suspicious from the off? Or was it Daniel, who effectively was so excited by the whole thing, he decided immediately to become one of the visitor youth free friends?
Was Daniel the some of the names I'm still trying to remember at the moment, because I've it's been fresh in my mind. I've just been watching it as well. Is he the son of one of the families? Because there was one of the younger lads, and I thought, oh gosh, I hope he doesn't end up working with them in a bad way and getting sucked in, because that's the impression I was getting from Daniel, to be honest with you. And I thought, oh gosh, oh dear, this could end badly, very badly. But there's a part where Mike, he sort of gets sort of saved, or kind of, you know, is able to sort of escape through the help of Barbara, and she's one of the visitors. And I thought she seemed quite a nice lady, to be honest with you. And then she tells him to shoot her because she knows that her story won't be believable. They'll not believe her if she tries to, you know, fake it, basically.
Barbara, of course, we also see part of the small group of visitors, the other one, of course, being Martin, who effectively don't agree with their supreme leader and whatever views they might have in terms of how they're coming to Earth, effectively not because they wish to actually recycle our garbage and litter, but because they actually want to take the water from the oceans and, of course, actually use human beings as a snack for them, in addition to the other mammals that they clearly have in terms of whether it be guinea pigs, mice or other folks. So
that was awful to watch that. That was awful. But it was, I think it's Diana, you know, you said one of the leaders of the, you know, the ladies, and she opened her mouth wide and there the mouse or the guinea pig went in, and I thought that was horrendous. But Mike got it on camera, so I was like, yes, if he can show this, everyone will find out.
the dislocated jaw. And of course, we find out that sadly, the networks are actually prevented from actually showing the film because the networks are jammed, and AT&T or even Marbell has actually gone down. So a lot of issues there relating to how the media are controlled, how narratives are changed. Though clearly, we've just come out of one particular pandemic where a lot of concerns were being raised about that in terms of what is fake news, what is the real news. The actual series itself is dedicated to the spirit of the resistance and so on. Any characters that you'd say at this particular moment you'd say were a favourite of yours, or is it a case of, again, you're still getting to know them, really?
Still getting to know them. I do like Tony and Mike's sort of relationship, but I mean, I've only seen that from what I've watched so far. I quite like their little, you know, double trouble sort of team together. It's interesting you mentioned the mother of Mike. I thought her reaction was strange. I wasn't expecting that. It was like there was an ulterior motive of her trying to get her husband, you know, further involved in the company. And I just thought, oh, okay. But yeah, and Barbara was cute. I don't know why. I just liked her. And though Mike, you know, the lady that was the presenter, she obviously had a relationship previously. I'm getting into this, sorry, with Mike. But I seem to think Mike liked the look of this Barbara. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it have been nice if, you know, they'd have ended up together. But
well, there we are. And I won't give any spoilers in terms of some of the other challenges that develop with respect to that. But let's cut to the quick, Chloe. As a series, I mean, again, you presumably, I thought you might have been familiar with the 2009 incarnation, which Kenneth Johnson, again, wasn't really all that happy with, but that actually starred Marina Baccarin as Diana, and indeed kind of echoed. It was a revamp, a reboot of the series. Is this something you would have liked to see more of? Is it something you'll continue to watch? Will you actually, now you've started the actual miniseries, watch it right the way through to the final battle, and who knows, maybe even the short-lived TV series afterwards?
Oh yeah, I was because I've been trying to search to find it, and I've got it on Amazon Prime in the end through my own account, and I'm quite a bit upset really, because I thought, oh, I wanted to try and finish it. Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it all the way through, because I would have loved to speak more in detail about, you know, what happens as it goes on, but I've thoroughly enjoyed it, you know.
And what then would your score so far be for the series, the original miniseries?
Well, I did like Alien Nation last week, but I preferred this one, and I can't remember what score I gave. I think last week it was either 9.5 or 10 for Alien Nation. So I'm going to say 10 stars plus for this one, because I loved it.
Music there by Joe Harnell, of course, fresh from The Incredible Hulk, which was also produced and created in terms of the TV series by Kenneth Johnson. And here we are in the middle of a series that was released in the States. Shortest ever title still retains that wonderful line, V. 1983, we didn't see it in Britain until 1984. Cinematographer, of course, John McPherson. And as we said, written and directed by Kenneth Johnson, a name which is becoming synonymous with quality television, as we've discussed with Kenny in the background. But he is very much the focus of this edition of Resonance Rewind. And so, as we've already heard Chloe Rose's thoughts on this particular thing, let's jump straight across to New York, which was one of the cities that the visitors' spaceships hovered over, one of 51 spaceships to actually hover over the planet in the 1980s. You may not recall that, Pamela. You may have been too young to recall at the time. But what did you make of V, the miniseries?
I really liked it. I have to say I liked it. I was surprised because I just thought, you know, as soon as you start seeing the era of the 80s with the makeup and the hair and the, you know, and the now somewhat dated visual of where they couldn't help, of course. It caught my attention and it kept my attention. And I'll have you know, I watched one and two, and I'm going to continue to watch it. I downloaded the entire series of the first series. And it really grabbed me. It reached on a lot of things on a lot of levels, and it dealt with a lot of subjects that are prescient. And I feel it went to some places that I was proud of it for going to. And I couldn't take my eyes off of Faye Grant. She's so beautiful and so intelligent. You know, just I like her as an actress. It's very natural. And I don't know, I was the lead actor, forgive me, what was his name?
Mark Singer as Mike Donovan.
Yeah, I have very mixed feelings about him, I have to be honest, but he fulfilled his role very well. And yeah, I'm going to watch number three, but probably tonight.
Well, it does change slightly in terms of format, but just out of interest, Pamela, were you around first time when it was launched to great acclaim by NBC and became a very high rating miniseries, which is why they insisted that Kenneth Johnson actually either produce another miniseries or indeed a short range series as well for Warner Brothers?
No, I have to say I knew nothing of V. And even when I saw the V, you know, Jerry was saying, is that it? You know, did you leave something out? I'm like, no, it's just called V. I don't know. That spaceship never passed by my window.
Well, not to be confused with V for Vendetta, of course, the Alan Moore opus, which you'll be considering later on in the year, but V very much for Victory. Let's turn to another youngster who, again, was not around when the series made its debut. Might possibly recall the 2009 remake, but that's up for another issue for another time. Kayleigh Mansell, I gather you've been watching this with your father, who was around for the original series V. Did it grab him again as much second time around as first time? I certainly remember this during the Summer Olympics of 1984, when it was screened late at night in Britain. It was screened after news at 10, the only time we could actually watch it, because obviously it was too thrilling and dramatic an opus to have any earlier, even though the Star Wars theme was worked into the whole system. Anyway, Kayleigh, your thoughts?
Yeah, I joked that he should be on here today because I think he'd be the most enthusiastic participant. he was very excited to watch it again. I've never seen it with him, which is surprising because he used to raise me on things he was raised on. So, you know, that's how it goes. But yeah, we both had a great time watching it. I had way more of a good time than I thought I would. I feel like I love the genre of sci-fi in itself, but I don't often watch extraterrestrial sci-fi. So this has all been such a nice exploration for me. And I also love predicting plot. So I was sat there like, something's wrong here. As soon as the leader of the UN went into the shuttle and came back out all smiley, I was like, no, something, I'm not having this, something's wrong here. It was quite nice actually, because I think in comparison to some extraterrestrial television, I liked that they are the bad guys in a way. Like, I, as much as it's nice to think about, you know, interspecies getting on and things like that, it is nice to go back to that kind of like stereotypical us versus them, like humanity bonding together kind of thing. So yeah, I did really enjoy it way more than I thought I would, much to my dad's pleasure. And he said that he's going to buy the second season, and then the original series as well to make me watch too. So thanks, Alex. Thanks for everything you're going to put me through. All the hours.
It's not being forced. It's also as though this is the equivalent of Diana's acclimatization system. We're not trying to recondition you to actually appreciate these things.
No, I love it. It's just because of how much he loves it. When I give genuine constructive criticism, it's like he's very upset with me. So thank you for that, because I just have to sit quietly and pretend that everything is perfect with it. But yeah, cool.
Well, parents are very difficult to bring into the world, Kaylee. We've said this in the past, and it is a maxim which does remain to be very truthful. Yeah. I did like some of the wonderful intertextual asides that we got in here, though. I mentioned the Star Wars theme, which arguably you could have said, well, why are you playing the Star Wars theme, which is all about war, when these aliens are supposed to be coming in peace? It's just a thought. And there were an awful lot of them, as was identified. Plus, of course, the wonderful turn by a youngster who inevitably we would have actually said, yes, I can appreciate that. Ah, he doesn't even look like Mr. Spock. And the sort of shock when they're apparently just quite human in their own way. But there are lots of other systems that work in there, including, of course, the fact that it starts and almost is bookended by the revolution in El Salvador. In fact, there's a wonderful sequence in which the shot of Mike Donovan going up against the helicopter is very much echoed when Faye Grant, as the resistance leader, Juliet Parrish, also seems to go one-on-one with the shuttlecraft towards the end of the piece. But let's, as we're talking about war, bring in our regulation peace studies correspondent, of course, Kathy Manser. Kathy, again, like Kaylee, you were probably too young to remember this first time round. Were you familiar with V, or did you check out the 2009 remake with Marina Baccarin and others? Kathy temporarily has muted herself, or maybe it's the aliens. Maybe it's a case of they've cut across and actually were deliberately suppressing her, and even Mar-Bell was the plug was pulled. Anyway, Kathy, I think you're back with us now.
It's the aliens. No, I didn't see the 2009 remake, and I've actually never seen any of this. This was all new for me. Had no idea what to go into it, and I'm interested. I mean, like I said, I had no expectations. I don't think I 100% love it, but I liked a lot of the things they brought up and talked about. And it was interesting because my first impression was like, Independence Day? Like the first 15 minutes, I was like, Independence Day? But to be fair, this came out first. So, but no, I had a good time with it.
There were echoes of Arthur C. Clarke's Childhood's End and arguably Rendezvous with Rama, which kind of come across with this. And I think it's interesting that the series itself was based very much on a 1930s novel called It Couldn't Happen Here, which was all about the United States being taken over by a totalitarian government. And that was suggested by Kenneth Johnson to Brandon Tartikoff, the head of the network at the time. And Brandon suggested maybe setting it with a science fiction theme. To actually put the whole series together within 4 weeks, I thought was phenomenal. And I think to actually go from literally original idea being greenlit to shooting the actual material was a huge thing. And I don't think that Kenneth Johnson's had sufficient credit for that. Bit of a tragedy, of course, losing Dominique Dunn, whose role as Robin, the daughter. Sadly, she was replaced by Blair Tefkin because she'd been murdered shortly during the filming process, which was, again, a tragedy that was connected within that. Not sure whether we can also connect now, hopefully, with a fine actress who I feel would have made an ideal Faye Grant, i.e. Juliet Parrish, and could still make an ideal Juliet Parrish from a British perspective. That's Sarah Huntley. Sarah, have you actually managed to see the miniseries at all? Again, I think the aliens have obviously decided to suppress Sarah Huntley for her own particular views on this story. So let's turn to Jenny Bill, where we can pretty much rely on her views with respect to UFOs. Sadly, no Commander Straker in this, Jenny, because clearly this is, although it's past 1980, Shadow haven't quite got to the whole thing. What were your thoughts on V, and do you remember it first time round?
Clearly, I'm far too young to remember it the first time around, Alex. You should know that. I think I saw some episodes from the TV series, but I'd never seen this. And I have to say, I looked at it and I said to my dad, "Oh, we're watching something called The Miniseries." And then I realised when I looked it up that it's The Miniseries. And I watched it and I was like, oh, there's 3¼ hours of my life that I'm never going to get back. I kind of had mixed feelings about it. I thought it looked dated. I thought it looked a bit cheap. I thought some of the acting was terrible. I thought the music was great. And then every time they had a really dramatic scene to play, the acting suddenly was really fantastic. A lot of the dialogue was fine, but I didn't think it was delivered that well. And I did thought it looked a bit cheap and cheerful. It's not that new, but I think there's other things that have maybe stood the test of time a little bit better.
To be fair, it hasn't had a digital retouching as yet. Let's go to Sarah Huntley. Sarah, I'm not sure if you're back with us now, whether you're still frozen in time somewhere, in which case we'll be looking at another series, Sapphire and Steel, next week. But Sarah, any thoughts on V? No, I suspect she's still frozen there like some kind of icicle sort of kept there. Pamela, there were a number of interesting lines in terms of the scripting that I thought were particularly significant. The connection that we actually had from Caleb Taylor, of course, Caleb's character. First, we had to fight you hunkies for a job. Then we had the Mexicans. And now it's these creeps. Kind of suggested, again, that kind of issue that when you have got migrant, there was a fear, there was a sense of problematism or problematization in there, which, again, I think the series did very well with its ensemble cast, because it literally went from everything from, of course, the young member of the Bernstein family who becomes totally enraptured with becoming a member of the equivalent of the Hitler Youth and just falls in love with everything. The character, of course, of Robin Maxwell, whose father is an anthropologist, and she falls in love, obviously, with the visitor. And of course, that's another aspect where Mark Singer, although technically he is the lead, I feel that the actual ensemble cast, the size of the cast, means that there are so many things going there, including, of course, the debut of Robert Englund, much beloved Freddy from Freddy Krueger from the Nightmare series of films. But any thoughts from yourself, Pamela, in terms of how the thing was being put together and this science fiction as metaphor, as it was being used as an allegory to say, well, actually, we're talking about manipulation of the media. We're talking about the characters portraying their own PR system. We're talking about all sorts of conspiracy theorists. It's little wonder that this has served as a template for much of our social media problems. What are your thoughts on this one, Pamela?
Well, it was obviously very heavy on that. And I actually liked that. I mean, I suppose being American as well, knowing that these problems did exist, and looking back into the 80s at what their commentary on it, I felt like it was a leap forward in being more realistic vis-a-vis, media about these problems that were existing, about the inequalities and about how people felt. The being of Jewish heritage, the part with the grandfather and the remembering, the concentration camps and how he lost his wife. And that was actually poignant. It was really touching. And I think, as I said, once I got past the filter of the 80s, and maybe whatever budget or lack thereof where they had, with certain things, because to me there was more of definitely a television-like quality. And back then television was, I suppose, television. Now you have Game of Thrones, and things that are just such high production values. Once I got beyond that and got into the struggles, recently there's that movie Don't Look Up. I think it maybe it actually did take some things from this. I'm not really sure. It could be a stretch, but as I said, especially when the grandfather you know, he put on his yarmulke and he was playing the music and he was very defiant. And he was the one, I think, that did the V, right? And he's like, do it right, you know, and he made the V for victory. Is that he really had something at stake. And I think a lot of people come to, you know, country like America to have freedom. I mean, that's the innocent thought when people come here a lot of times. And so you have atrocious things that have happened to people and they flee that and they go to other countries. And being from America, I can speak a little bit to that American perspective. And it spoke to me, it tugged on my heartstrings. You know, maybe it's because so many of us in the music world recently lost a dear, dear, dear friend of ours who was an incredible, you know, force, and he died way too young. And that's
we're talking about Morgan Taylor, in case you're wondering. Kathy, of course, was on the show that we did with Morgan Taylor with her rock, her glowing rock, which made the debut and so far today only appearance on that one. But
so never mind. I think sometimes when you when you're going through something acute like that, your heart is more open to the content beneath, you know, beneath the facade. So I actually, in a very long-winded way, I think what I'm saying is that I thought that the way that the different quote-unquote minorities portrayed their struggles was poignant, and that they were trying to speak to that. And I think that they did that well.
We also, of course, had in the characterization of Eleanor, the mother of Mike Donovan, somebody who was quite willing to actually sell people out, including her own son at various times. Plus, of course, the hard-bitten broadcast soul who actually becomes the PR soul for the visitors. Again, lots of areas there which kind of suggest how you never know how people are going to collaborate, going to work in these kind of situations. Let's turn to Kathy. I mean, what were your thoughts again first time around? Did you find a kind of connection with what Pamela was saying there in terms of this was a really good allegory for actually it could happen in any country or any world?
I do think, I mean, the reality is it has happened, you know. World War II is an example of that immediately, which the show references heavily on. And for a show to be so based on science fiction and future, it used a lot of history to kind of explain its point of view, you know? I mean, even as far as to go as the visitors symbol, you know,
it's a swastika. I mean, it's a redesigned swastika by any other sort of stretch of imagination. We can see that.
Yeah. They made very obvious comparisons in that way, which is why it's like that. I think that's where my hesitation comes with this, because I do think they were trying to bring up a lot of serious things in a very entertaining way, and I appreciate the attempt. I can also appreciate some of the special effects. Some of it cheesy, sure, but some of it, especially for its time, because I had to remind myself when this was filmed and to see some of the things they were capable of, you were getting pretty close to on par with when Star Wars was coming out, which is impressive to see.
39 years ago.
So I do definitely appreciate that. But I mean, I also share kind of Jenny's view on it, where there are moments that it loses me, where I want to be paying more attention. But the male character, who now we both have forgotten the names, Pamela Suman and I.
Mike Donovan?
I remember his hair better than I remember him. But you know, I also appreciate the villainous character of Diana. Like, there's a lot to choose for people, but I just wish there was a little bit more, I don't know, more of a flow, if that makes sense. You know, like I said, there's a lot of good things in here, and I think it brings up a lot of conversation, especially if you're watching this at home and, you know, you're with people and you're kind of going into more current politics. But at the same time, I don't know if I would continue watching this. I mean, I was into it for the first two episodes, but to go into a whole season, I might be hesitant.
Again, we pointed out Kenneth Johnson wasn't exactly happy with what the season became, because effectively he vacated the creative control seat and decided that actually the conditions that he was being faced with weren't appropriate. I think there are mixed feelings. Depends on whether you or not you like Michael Ironside and his approach as the sort of character of Ham, but that's another line entirely. Maybe he does ham it up too much, but that's for another programme. Kayleigh, back to yourself. I mean, we talked a bit about the allegories, the metaphors, the techniques actually used within the film. What about yourself in terms of anything you'd like to add before we start considering favourite characters from the vast range we've got to consider?
Yeah, I thought that how that they dealt with kind of the fetishization of the visitors was very interesting, because I think I feel like Donovan's mum was used to highlight the good within other characters, and her like odd as I said, fetishizing of the visitors rather than seeing them for the evil that they are.
Shiny really... boots and nice uniforms. That's all you need. Shiny boots and nice uniforms.
I just think that metaphors on humanity and behavior are always so interesting in shows like this. And even watching it now, it continues to, you know, this kind of when it matters most about humanity grouping together and fighting them as a force. There are stray characters that choose to side with the evil and choose to side with, you know, what can allow them to social climb or what can give them the most exciting life, I suppose. So I think in terms of metaphors, I really enjoyed that element of it, because they're not only against the visitors, but they're against each other at various points. So that was a whole different dimension to it. It's not us versus them, it's us versus them and us versus each other. So it just gets so convoluted. But yeah, same as Kathy, I think as much as I did enjoy them, I don't know. I am very curious about Robin and her, you know, her storyline with the insemination, whatever. But I don't think there's enough, because I'm assuming VNs with humans.
She has a child, and I shall say no more. She does have a child.
that would be interesting, definitely. But I don't think I'd watch it to only find that out, because I'm assuming that, because I guessed all of the plot twists that were going to happen, so I think, but just based on that alone, maybe I'm bored with it. I don't know. Not to be bored with something as amazing as V, but you know, that's how it is. Sorry, Dad.
We had a large number of what I call virtuoso performances. Pamela, you already mentioned Leonardo Cimino as Abraham Bernstein, who again echoes that Jewish tragedy of the Second World War, and indeed, in this particular instance, raises that issue about the scientists and the way that the scientists are the first people who are effectively rounded up and effectively corralled, or indeed converted in the conversion process. And that question, which really kind of alludes to the challenges of not asking questions, that if you don't ask questions, if you happily sleepwalk into a society whereby you accept everything, well, then you get what you deserve. Effectively, you might sort of think this is an ideal, in the words of the character, an offer they couldn't refuse. All they wanted was our rubbish, apparently, some plant situated near the coast. And there was no mention of actually taking the seawater, taking human beings and other sort of aspects. And of course, that creation of martial law, the excuse, of course, that martial law was a very good idea, as indeed Richard Hurt's character says, of ensuring that everybody is kept safe about this. So that's the, I mean, those kind of things still tragically tend to echo. You could argue that's what Putin is using to go into Ukraine. It's denazification. It's his line of just, you know, liberating the Ukraine. Any thoughts on that, Pamela? You just temporarily muted yourself again. It's okay. We're not having the Sarah Huntley syndrome extending across the Atlantic here.
No, where's Sarah? I wanted to come back. You just spoke so succinctly that I don't know what I can add. You know, okay, there were a lot of things going on. And maybe too many. Sometimes as I'm watching shows more critically these days, I feel that sometimes when people are trying to do, there is a film that's just, I have to pan it. It's terrible. Please don't any of you watch it. I hope you don't mind. But it's called Annette. It has nothing to do with this, but it's just terrible. And in this, in that comparison, for anyone who's seen it, it's just so ambitious. It's just, now what Annette has is, Annette sort of has this sort of, aren't we too cool? Because we're, and I love French film, but it's a French thing, and it's just, everybody's so cool. I don't feel like this show had that, but sometimes if it's too ambitious and it's trying to do too many things, my metaphor would be a song. If you have too many parts and instruments and they're all vying for center stage and there's too much happening, you can get lost in that. So I think that maybe if this suffered from anything, it would be suffering from that, because there was a lot going on many levels, and maybe they could have streamlined things so that it wasn't quite so frenetic in everything that was going on, everybody's agendas and issues and this and that, because it gave you almost too much to think about. But I feel like as commentary, you know, as I said, I think that it did hit some really good points. And I think probably because of the somewhat somber mood that I've been in recently, I was more open to taking those emotional aspects in, whereas my normal callous self, I probably would have just been like, what, you know, what kind of makeup were they wearing? It was terrible. I can't get past it. They need to digitize this. And like, I can't, you know, get past that person's, you know, bad hair or something, you know? So, yeah.
But it's understandable. If they'd come from a reptilian background, they may not be used to the kind of styles that we actually have in contemporary Britain. It's interesting that the series was criticized by many for kind of devolving into an extraterrestrial version of Dynasty in the latter parts of the whole thing, with Joan Collins' character versus that of Linda Evans, very much being portrayed by Diana and others. Jenny, okay, let's move to characters. Which one or ones of the characters stood out for yourself? I mean, if it helps, Chloe was particularly taken with the character of Tony, who was, of course, the sidekick for Mike Donovan. She also, I think, had a lot of time for Faye Grant's portrayal of Juliet Parrish. But who effectively floated the boat for yourself?
I really liked the grandfather, Mr. Bernstein. I've forgotten his first name now. I actually thought that his acting was very, very good, and he had all the best lines as well. I mean, I felt that his was a really a character that you could really believe, that you could meet in real life. And I thought he played it just right. I was a bit disappointed because you never got to see him again.
Last word, though, how significant his last word on screen, shalom, when the visitors effectively basically rush in to effectively take on board the family they believe are being staying there. And he greets them with the traditional word for peace, which I think was particularly interesting. I also thought Ruby worked well with him as a sort of twofold character. And she also sort of fed in to the way in which, again, we saw literally all aspects of humanity, the good and the worse, very much portrayed here. So it's thumbs up for Abraham for yourself. What about yourself, Kaylee?
I really liked Willie. I thought he was quite innocent in everything that was going on.
He was just.
Yes, exactly. I was really, really struggling to decipher him, and I guess everyone else was as well. But I just liked how he was just taking it in his stride, and he's like, I'm not supposed to be here, I haven't learned any English. And then, you know, I always enjoy, as much as I was saying it's nice to not be into species or whatever, like too much. I liked his friendship. I can't remember her name. Destiny?
Harmony.
Harmony, that's it. Yeah.
They're both Captain Scarlet Angels, so don't worry. Harmony is acceptable.
Yeah, I enjoyed their friendship and their little, you know. But yeah, Willie in general, I liked just how willing he was to help and to go against his own kind. I enjoyed that, because I think without characters like him, despite him being a little bit simple-minded at times, there would be no, you know, humans and the visitors wouldn't have been able to kind of do anything about the the overwhelming force that was their kind. So just for that reason, I liked him ever since he came on screen. And I think there was so much going on that whenever he was in a scene, I was relaxed. I was like, okay, something nice will happen here. Like nothing too stressful will happen with him. So yeah, that's my reasoning.
Yes, I have to give a mention, of course, to Chloe's recommendation of the other friendly visitor, which I think there were three that effectively disagreed with our leader. We mentioned Willie, of course. Barbara, the character played by Jenny Newman, was another one who, of course, helped Donovan to escape on one of his four trips, I think, to the mothership. And, of course, there was Martin, who clearly also managed to buy some time for Donovan to get rescued, which, again, that is a very clear line that not all Germans were Nazis, not all Russians go along with Putin, etc., etc. Kathy, what about yourself and favourite characters?
I mean, everyone named a lot of good ones, and I kind of agree with you. But I think this time around, I feel like I'm just choosing evil. It feels right. And I'm going to go with Diana. Because I just kind of want to know the origin story. What's happening? How did this happen? How did we get here? why do we feel this way? I feel like more tension on Diana.
Well, of course, Jane Badler, who played Diana, went on to reprise the role after fashion in the remake. Sadly, suffered her own personal tragedy, really, because one of her sons predeceased her a couple of years ago. She's now based in Australia. She also had a role in the remake of Mission Impossible there. But again, I think Jane Badler certainly managed to squeeze the evil Machiavellian juice out of every pore of her role as Diana. And again, really took over from John, the leader, as the person who effectively was, in many ways, the flip side of Christine Walsh, the TV presenter who became the visitor spokesperson and then in the end kind of saw the light after a fashion. And Pamela, what about yourself? Your own favourite character?
Well, I'm going to choose two. I hope that's okay. As I said, you know, Faye Grant, I there's something about her. I'd like to know more about her as an actor.
Certainly the way in which she managed to transmit the vulnerability and the discussion that she actually had with Ruby once again, in which the advice is, well, effectively, they all look at me and I don't know what to do. And yeah, you're just as lonely and scared as we are.
That was
fake it.
It was her intelligence and it was her humility. And I think they cast her well. Plus there's something really, really magical. I mean, yes, I have a daughter named Faye, but I mean, she just, there's something really enchanting and magical about her presence, about her eyes, about, you know, I'd like to see her in some other things. And sort of, I don't know if she was Shakespeare trained. If she wasn't, I kind of wish she were. but she's amazing. And then the grandfather, of course, he was so adorable and so fierce. And so he played, it's interesting, Leonardo, it sounds like he must be Italian, but he really embodied the old, you know, concentration camp survivor. He did that beautifully. So yeah.
Yeah. Leonardo Cimino, who again had a whole range of sort of elements within things, sadly passed away in 2012. But actually, fairly good innings because he was born in 1917, but known for a number of key things, including Dune, Waterworld, Hudson Hawk, and more. Okay, let's go to the scores for V. In fact, we must trace up Faye Grant. We'll try and invite Kenneth Johnson back to discuss Faye's performance with us, because again, I tend to agree, and I probably say she would be one of my favourites as well. I think there are lots of folk within that. I think I'd probably go for Faye Grant's line as Judith Parrish. Again, in addition to the way in which she coped with actually being shot, obviously in the series, and the fact that she was vulnerable, because again, this was a series where often you didn't get the lead character suddenly having to limp through the process. And I think she managed to recover from that and again, share her vulnerability very effectively.
Miraculous recovery from her limping when she ran over to that woman just before she did her, she managed to run over to that woman and child without her stick.
Adrenaline can help all sorts of things. as Bruce David Banner would have actually said. Chloe went for because she went for a 9.5 last week with Alien Nation, she went for a 10++++ for this one. She thought it's wonderful, and she's also locked into play with that. So Chloe maintaining the positive side of things there. Jenny, I suspect that echoing Robin Pierce, who's still in a state of mourning because his local cinema has gone into receivership, what is your own thought with respect to this one? What score are you going to provide?
Well, I mean, I do agree. I think it had a great mission, and I think it had lots of great ideas. As I said before, Cheap and Cheerful, I thought there was some terrible acting. And I have to say, I started off, I thought, oh, I'm going to give it a 6. And then as it went on, I thought, well, maybe a 5. And I think I'm going to stick it a 4 out of 10.
Okay. As we said, Curmudgeonly is a title that you have to sort of work hard to get. And Jenny clearly has actually gone for that title. Kaylee, your thoughts and your score?
Yeah, when I first started it, I was like, this is going to be high. Like, this is really, really good. And then when I realised that what they wanted was water and they wanted to take all of Earth's water, I just thought, like, even for sci-fi, this is stupid. Like, I understand wanting to eat humans, but wanting to take all of Earth's water and, like, leave them, leave us to die even though it rains all the time. Like, it just... For that, I just thought it could have been
although
way...
Although it wouldn't rain if all the water had gone because this carbon cycle wouldn't function on that basis.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. I just, at that point, I said to my dad, I said, I'm sorry, I know how much you love this, but it's really gone down for me. So maybe like a 6.5. I think it's good. It's good, it is, but the plot point after that point, I was just so, like, bored of it. I thought I wanted this big magnanimous...
Okay, Kathy, yours?
Okay, before I give my score, I have a question. Do we ever find out, or is it ever revealed who the leader is?
No.
Ooh. It's like, okay, then my score is a solid 5. It's right in the middle. I feel accurate about this.
Okay, and Pamela?
Wow, okay, well, I'm invoking Jessica Burgess here, and I'm thinking, what would Jessica do? So I'm representing Jessica and myself, even though she didn't ask me to do it, I'm doing it. So therefore, I'm going to give it an 8, and I'm assuming that might be around the score that she'd give. And the reason being that I want to be positive about it, and I love how you turn the 8 this way and becomes an infinity, which is very hopeful and very positive. And it's not a 9, so I'm not just like blindly.
It's a 9 for me, but never mind.
it's more than 7. So yeah, I'm going to just give it an 8 for very arbitrary reasons.
I get a 4 because more than 3 and less than 5.
Yes, Jenny, you've made your point. Let's move on. Next week, all the irregularities shall be handled by the forces concerning each dimension. Transuranic heavy elements may not be used where there is life. We'll be investigating a very basic but very profound British science fiction series, which has arguably been stated as being one of the finest P.J. Hammond creations ever made, and indeed one of the finest episodes of British television that we've actually seen. It'll be parts 1 through 3 of Sapphire and Steel with Joanna Lumley and David McCallum. This and more on Resonance Rewind. Keep on resonating. And thanks to Pamela Sue Mann, Kathy Manso, Jenny Bill, Kaylee Mansell, and Chloe Rose. As we said before, keep on resonating.